Back in the day, I loved to rock climb. And I was a student down here at Cedarville, and you were allowed to climb at Clifton Gorge. And so I all those cliffs along the pathway there, we would climb those cliffs. But I would periodically would take individuals down who were interested, and I would teach them how to rock climb. And I had the equipment, and I would show them, you know, the knots and how the knots would, the tighter they got, if you put pressure on, the tighter they got, they wouldn't come untied. And told them about the equipment and the rope and how much weight they would hold and everything. And then I would get them all geared up and ready to go, and then put them on belay, and we'd be anchored in and ready to go and say, on belay, belay on, and then they would start climbing. And they would get up, do quite well. We always started with an easy climb, and they'd get up about 20 feet or so, and I'd say, okay, stop, all right. And I'd say, fall. And they'd go, what? I'd say, fall. Just let go of the rock and fall. And they'd go, what? You got to be crazy. You know, they'd hang onto the rocks, you know, and they're like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing? I said, just relax and let go of the wall and fall. What was I trying to do? I was trying to teach them to trust me and trust the equipment. And finally, they would, okay, and they'd push back, and then they'd bounce on, okay, grab the rock again, and you start climbing, and they'd make it to the top. You know, you think about that, that's much like our relationship with God, that we need to learn to trust in Him. Do you trust Him? Can you trust Him? So that if or when you fall, and you will, you have no need to fear because you trust in Him. Trust is essential to any strong relationship. And obviously, for example, trust is essential to a marriage relationship, a strong marriage relationship. When trust erodes, the marriage tends to break down. But yet faithfulness builds trust. When one is faithful, it gives no indication of infidelity. There is reason to trust. The Word of God gives a high premium on the privilege of knowing God. In fact, back in Philippians, Paul said that he counted everything as loss for the surpassing power of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord, to know God. And as we grow to know Him, it builds our trust in Him. And Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 indicates an essential aspect of knowing God. It says, Deuteronomy 7, 9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. So much like His holiness, if God was not faithful, He would cease to be God. He would not be God. If God was not faithful, He would not be God. An essential quality of God and who He is. We're studying qualities of God, qualities that describe God, qualities that are attributed to God, that are found in His words. In other words, we are studying what God is like according to the Word, and then how that speaks to our hearts, how that is lived out in our lives. So we've studied our God who is, our God who's faithful, our God who exists, our God who is holy, our God who is sovereign. He is in control. And today, we're studying the truth that God is faithful. He's worthy of our trust. If you're not already there, take your Bibles, turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Familiar passage to some, starting with verse 26. Lamentations chapter 3, starting with verse 22 through 26. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We just sang about that, right? Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This morning, we're looking at the fact that the faithfulness of God is great, right? The faithfulness of God is great. Great here means abundant. Abundant in every way, in quality, in size, in quantity. It is awesome. The faithfulness of God is awesome. It is sufficient in every way. It is indispensable. We talk about our vision statement for the church, that we want to show Jesus as indispensable to our community and beyond. That's what we're talking about here. That when we look at the faithfulness of God, describe him, his faithfulness is indispensable. It's great. Look at the context here. The context of these statements is the book of Lamentations, a lament. And it's written by Jeremiah, and he warned the people of Judah, the southern tribes of Judah. You had 10 tribes of the north, it was called Israel after the kingdom was divided. 2 tribes of the south, it was called Judah. And he was warning Judah that to repent of their sins, their unfaithfulness to God. And he says, he was telling them, if you don't repent, you are going to be taken away into exile. And they ridiculed him. And he was devastated by this. He wanted the people of God to be faithful to God. And then he witnessed the judgment of God upon the southern tribes of Judah. The people of Jerusalem were marched into exile. He saw this take place. It was a devastating sight over which Jeremiah lamented. That's what we have here in this book. The nation would not heed Jeremiah's warning and his call to repent. And he, as a result of his ministry and his preaching and warning the people, they didn't want to hear anything of it. It was kind of like they're going, la, 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 we don't believe it. And they persecuted him because of his preaching. And when it came about, he lamented what he witnessed. And yet through all of this, in the middle of all of this, this lamenting here, Jeremiah is reminded of the faithfulness of God. Here's your take-home thought today, and that is because God is faithful, you can trust him. Because of the faithfulness of God, you can trust him. Trust is possible when something is genuine, when it's trustworthy, when it's true, when it's reliable or authentic. You can trust something that is firm and stable. And Lamentations 3 pronounces the fact that God's faithfulness, his authenticity, his reliability is great. And God's faithfulness is great for several reasons. First of all, his faithfulness is great because he is everlasting in all that he is. God is everlasting in all that he is. Look at verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We see here that his love never ceases. You know, I've had some friends over the years that have meant a lot to me. friends that I have loved, I believed loved me. And due to circumstances, some for known reasons, some for unknown reasons, the relationship changed. It drifted, it wavered, and in some cases, the relationship is no more. And it's sad. Maybe you've had that kind of situation in your life. People that you've loved, you believed loved you, and that relationship is no more or has changed. Friends may fail you, but God reminds us right here in this passage that there will never come a time when God's love ceases. In verse 22 there, literally in the Hebrew, the first phrase there, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It literally is because of the steadfast love of the Lord, we are not cut off. Because of His love, He does not cut us off. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, you can jot that down in your notes. You can turn there if you'd like, but 1 John 4, verse 7. Reads, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This, my friend, the fact that Jesus died on the cross, God sent His Son, God became man to die on the cross in your place and mine. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the single sufficient sacrifice to pay for your sin debt that you could never pay. That's love. And because His love is great, you can be assured that you can trust Him, that if He said that He did this for you, that if you believe that He did that for you, He will save you. Isn't that exciting? There's no doubt. You can rest upon that promise that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that, we invite you to do that today. We're going to celebrate that here in just a little bit. That as we have communion together, that we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He did that for you and me. And if we would believe that He did that, we would be saved, that we would have eternal life. And we see there here that His mercies never end. The King James here says that we are not consumed. All right? Though we face the perplexities, the disappointments of this life, we're not eaten up by them. They don't destroy us. It makes me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, we're perplexed but not despair, abandoned but not destroyed. We go through those challenges, those difficulties, right? I mean, you face those in your life. Some of you are going through those right now. And yet, because of the faithfulness of God, His mercies never end. There will never come a time when the mercies of God are not evident if you open your eyes to that truth. Mercy keeps things from being worse than they are. Is it MMA? Is that the fighting where they fight in the cages and stuff? Okay, so you got the MMA fighting, you know, and they get in there and they're pummeling each other, right? And eventually it seems like one of the guys falls onto the mat and they're just pounding on the guy. And all of a sudden the referee blows the whistle and says, stop, stop, it's over, stop. Why? Because one guy tapped out. He's crying, uncle. He's pleading for mercy. It could have gotten worse, right? But he tapped out. And mercy was granted. And what this passage here is saying is God's mercies never end. His mercies are new every morning. There's not a day that begins without knowing or experiencing the mercies of God. From the moment that you wake up, it's a blessing of God's mercy that you are living another day, that your heart is breathing, that heart is beating, you are breathing the air, that you open your eyes, that you have sight. And beyond all of that, the fact that a mercy of God is that for the believer, you have eternal life. Even in this life, if you have trusted Jesus as Savior, you have the assurance that you are experiencing the mercies of God, because when this life ends, and it will, you continue to live on an eternity with Him. The mercies of God never cease. They're new every morning. So even though Jeremiah was lamenting the fact that the people of Jerusalem and Judea were being exiled, that they were being marched to a far distant country, Jeremiah could be reminded that one day they would be restored. The covenant of God would perpetuate. God had a plan for His people, just like He has a plan for you and me. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. We also see that God's faithfulness is great because He provides total fulfillment. His mercies are great, His fulfillment, faithfulness is great because He provides total fulfillment. Verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him." The word portion means allotment. The Lord is your allotment. In other words, He is all that you need. And if Jesus is all that you have all you need, right? Do you believe that? Right? He is faithful to provide for you everything that you need. I think of, and I referenced this a few weeks ago, I think, but in Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk, after listening to God's prophecy and communicating the prophecy of God concerning how He was going to use a nation worse than His nation to judge His nation, he was confused and he didn't know what God was going to do or why God was going to do it. But he believed God. He trusted God. And he said, even though there are no figs on the tree or no grapes on the vines, even though there might not be any cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in God, my Savior. What was he saying? He was saying, even if I lose everything, I'm going to rejoice in the fact that I have a Savior. And if I have a Savior, I have all I need. And I just want to encourage you, friend, regardless to what you have gone through, what you are going through, whatever you may have lost, if you have Jesus, you literally have everything you need. I understand it's a faith statement because we live in this materialistic world and we like our things, right? And we want our things. But there may be someone here that you have lost a lot. I think of the hurricane. There are people who are just walking down the street just bewildered. Because as far as this life's possessions, they've lost everything. And yet I saw an interview with two ladies, and I don't know anything about their souls, but two ladies, they said, but we're thankful. It's all gone, it's wiped out, but we're thankful because we're here. And as believers, that should be our attitude, that should be our spirit, that even if we would happen to lose everything, that we rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, the Lord is my portion. He is my allotment. He's everything I need. Because of that, you're able to place your hope in Him. Isn't that exciting? Look, I'm going to take some time here. But go back to chapter 3 and verse 1. Listen to the lament of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of His wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns His hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. He's a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent His bow and set me as a target for His arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrow of His quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Jeremiah here, my friend, is saying, I am broken. And I believe that he understood and believed in the sovereignty of God, that for God's known or unknown reasons, that God allowed this to happen to him, to come upon him. In fact, God told him that this was going to happen as he preached faithfully to his people who were not going to repent and who were going to be carried away to a far distant country. And it grieved his soul, and God allowed this to come upon him, and he was broken. It was almost like, God, why, oh, why? Verse 21. But this I call to mind. What he's saying here is, after all of this brokenness, I remembered something. This I called to mind, and therefore I have hope. Remembering this truth has given me hope. Matthew Henry says, but for hope the heart would break. What was that that gave hope? Verse 22, our text today. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That gave hope. God's love, His mercy, His faithfulness gave hope. And you are able to place hope in Him because He is reliable. Hope allows you to carry on. And there's often despair, right? There are times when we go through the perplexity of this life, and it may lead us to despair, and we might cry out to God, "Oh God, where are you?" On August 5th, 2010, 33 miners in Chile were trapped in a mine 2,300 feet underground. Could you imagine that? Think about that. The mine collapses, and they're 2,300 feet underground. You think, this party's over. There was no way out. And immediately, the authorities come in. They try to locate where they are. They're alerted of the mine's collapse. And for 17 days, they were underground, not knowing whether they would be saved or not. Well, before the 17 days, they heard drilling. You could just imagine, they just, wait a minute, listen. You know, going through 2,300 feet of rock. Maybe they're... And the drill bits broke through into the area. And knowing that those drill bits were coming gave them hope. And after 17 days, one of those drill bits broke through and they had a note ready. And the note read, "We are well in the shelter, the 33 of us." And they pull the drill bit back out. "We are well in the shelter, the 33 of us. They're there. They're alive." And they kept working, and they kept working. And knowing that the authorities, the people, the world was watching, and people were working to save them, gave them hope. Do you remember how long it was before they finally emerged? They were 2,300 feet underground for 69 days. What kept them alive? Hope. Hope. Whatever darkness may be upon you, be assured that hope allows you to carry on. And we are able to hope in Him. In our great God, because He is faithful. He is reliable. You may feel trapped in some kind of collapse in your life. But God is saying right here, listen, my friend, there's hope. There's hope. And He is there to save you, to help you through that. There's light in your darkness. And what is that light in your darkness, as we say in Sunday school? Jesus, right? Jesus. Matthew Henry goes on to say, whatever hard things we suffer, we must never entertain any hard thoughts of God, but must still be ready to own that He is both kind and faithful. Whatever it is you face, remember that He's kind and faithful, and that gives you hope. God's faithfulness is great. Also because He's trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Verse 25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. He will not abandon you." Whatever your situation is, He will not abandon you. He will show up. He and all that he provides is worth waiting for. And it takes faith to wait for the Lord, right? We want our comfort. We want our help. We want our ease. And we want it now, right? But it's all in God's time. It's been said, you know, time is in God's hands. That's kind of a vivid picture because as great and vast as God is, time is just in his hands. We live in this time, space, environment, and it's all right there. God sees it all. Whatever it is going on in your life. And so when we think of time, we need to realize, you know what? God is in control of all that. Well, let's talk about last week's message, right? He's sovereign. And it's all in his hands. But be assured that he will show up. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence, jot it down in your notes, Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Right? With confidence, draw near to God. Just like Jeremiah did. Oh God, it just, you know, my teeth are grinding and I feel like you've shot an arrow into my liver. I just, oh God, help me. But I'm reminded of your great faithfulness. In your difficulties, God is faithful. Psalm 119, verse 75. Says, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. I think Jeremiah was remembering that. In your faithfulness you have afflicted me. When you are going through the challenges and difficulties, let me just step back. When Jeremiah was going through this severe trial and this burden of ministry and the persecutions that he faced, he remembered that in his faithfulness, God had afflicted him. God allowed this for God's good purposes. And he provides as he promises. Verse 26, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. To wait quietly? What's that mean? No murmuring. No complaining, not shaking your fist at God, not worrying. Because you believe in the Lord. And you're not going to do those things because of your faith in the Lord. As an expression of your faith, because you trust in him. Waiting patiently shows that you believe him and that he provides as he promises. Trustworthiness is a disappearing commodity in our culture, right? People are skeptical. You know, just over the last couple of years, you know, you heard this and you heard that and you're like, whoa, who's right, right? Should we or shouldn't we? And everybody has an opinion about it all. So we become skeptical. You have the yeah, right attitude. I don't know about you, but I'll watch the news and I'll hear reports and I'm like, whatever, you know. Can't believe them. You know, it's right one day and the next day it's wrong. We're going to do this, but no, we're going to do that. So trustworthiness is disappearing. When you're telling others about Jesus, people may become skeptical because when they hear the gospel, they may have heard somebody on TV talk about John 3:16 and then, you know, they want all your money. You know, there are charlatans out there. Politicians promise all kinds of things, but don't follow through. People carry that over then into their relationship with God. I asked God to heal me, or I asked God to heal my loved one, and it didn't happen. What's with that? Some people believe that God has let them down. But what they're saying is, I refuse to trust in the objective truths that we're learning here today. And I just want to encourage you that these truths are essential to your faith. That His mercies never end, His love is unceasing. Great is His faithfulness. So what do we mean when we say that God is faithful? Well, in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, speaking of Abraham having a child in his old age, it says, Abraham being fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. When you think about the faithfulness of God, God is faithful means that God will do what He has promised. He's not obligated to do what you and I think He ought to do. Faith is believing that God will do what He has promised He will do, just as He says. So when we say that God is faithful or He's trustworthy, we're saying that He will do and always do what He has promised to do in His word. He will never change. He will never come up short. He will never leave you hanging. Now, by that, we need to understand that from God's point of view, because there are times when we feel like, God, I'm hanging out here, where are you? But remember and believe that He is faithful, even in that situation. So the real question isn't, is God trustworthy or faithful? The real question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Are you trusting in your trustworthy God? And is that trust based upon His promises? Don't trust in others. They will let you down. Don't trust in government or politicians. They can't deliver. Don't trust in physical appearance because it fades and sags. Don't trust in your own righteousness because you will fail. Don't trust in your own way because it leads you down the wrong path. Don't trust in lies because they deceive. Don't trust in idols because they can't deliver because they're worth nothing. Don't trust in the comfort and security of the world because it disappoints. Don't trust in riches. They fly away. Don't trust in your own accomplishments because they are worthless as filthy rags. But rather, we trust in the name of the Lord our God because He is what, my friend? Faithful. We trust in the name of the Lord our God because He is what again? Faithful. Are you willing to trust Him? He's mighty to save. Are you willing to believe that He will do that for you? In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Have you been troubled? Are you facing trouble? Are you in trouble today? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. It comes down to what you believe about God and who He is, and that He is faithful, and that He provided salvation through Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again, of which we celebrate here today. And as a result, John 15:13 says, "May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That's what God wants to provide for you today. He wants to give you hope as a result of believing in His great faithfulness here this morning. We're going to celebrate that here in just a moment, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You now. And as we come before you, preparing our hearts to celebrate your provision through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we see that you are faithful. Father, even as Jeremiah was lamenting all that had taken place before him and all that he even personally experienced, he could be refreshed and encouraged because he remembered that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And may that come to our minds even here and now. And I pray that if there's any here that, again, do not know you, they have not trusted you as Savior, that they would not leave here today without being assured of their salvation through Jesus Christ. I pray that every believer that's here today or watching or listening would be encouraged and refreshed by these truths here today. In this world, we go through the tribulations, the difficulties of this life. But may we be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. So may we live faithfully for you because of your great faithfulness. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come together to celebrate our time of communion together, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we read, beginning with verse 27.